chapter 4. We're going to be looking at verses 9 and 10. A number of years ago, I did a Sunday school lesson on Jabez, and I said, I need to make this into a sermon, so we're going to make it into a sermon tonight. And just Jabez, that's the title of tonight's study. And so let's look at our passage in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, beginning in verse 9. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother named him Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him with pain." Now Jabez called upon the name of the Lord, God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my border, that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, and that it may not pain me." And God granted him what he requested. Like a town with only one traffic light, if you blink, you're going to miss this passage. Scripturally, it's just a wide spot in the road, but don't let its size fool you. When Jesus fed the 5,000, he only needed a little to do a lot. And of course, you'll remember from that text that there was much still left over. Now, we know nothing of Jabez beyond what is recorded here in these two verses. But what is recorded here is enough to make him worthy of both our admiration and our imitation. He's clearly a man who rose above his circumstances, and he did so in a way that left him distinguished among his fellows. Jabez may not be specially mentioned in the hall of faith there in Hebrews chapter 11, but he would certainly be included in that unnamed number of others of whom the world is not worthy. And I wonder if our lives were summoned to be capsulized in just two verses. What would God say about us? What would be underscored and highlighted in your experience and mine? What would God consider worthy of imitation? What would mark you out and set you above the rest? Well, this slice from Jabez's life should clue us all in on what God thinks should merit special notice. Remember, I've quoted this many times, 2 Chronicles 16:9. "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are wholly devoted toward him." Well, those all-seeing and deeply searching eyes focused on Jabez one day, and what God saw then we should want to learn about now. And the first thing we learn about Jabez concerns his start in life. Look again at verse 9. His mother named him Jabez. What does it say? "Because she bore him in pain." Now, contextually here, Jabez was one of the descendants of Judah, though of which specific family we are not told. And the name Jabez means sorrow or pain or distress. And while this verse tells us that his mother bore him with pain, that does not necessarily mean that she named him Jabez because of a difficult pregnancy or delivery. Much more likely, the name is a reference to the times and the circumstances into which he entered the world. It was a day of distress, a period of severe hardship for his family, perhaps for the whole nation of Israel. And so Jabez's parents viewed him as a memorial of the times. Normally, the arrival of a child is a time of great rejoicing and celebration, but they named him sorrowful or son of pain because his birth apparently inflamed an already difficult situation. You remember Jesus said, "Woe to those mothers who are nursing during the tribulation time." It's going to be a terrible time to have to bring up children when the wrath of God is poured out upon the nations. Well, perhaps to a much lesser degree, that's what's in view here. And all of this took place at a time not specifically mentioned nor easily determined. We just don't know what kind of hardships Jabez was born into. What we obviously do know was that he carried that name with him everywhere he went and for the rest of his life. But before we start feeling sorry for Jabez, keep in mind, as we'll see in our next point, that eventually his life became a contradiction to his name. Jabez was not a man to stay down for the count. And so while the times may have been hard, he wasn't going to let them be for him a handicap. Yes, he apparently was born in circumstances beaten down and coming apart. But the thing I want you to see here is that the remarkable thing about Jabez is that he quickly learned how to gather his thoughts and pick up the pieces and aim his life straight to the glory of God. Now, before we move off this first point, it seems an opportune moment to remind us all from time to time that we, every one of us gets caught up in difficult days. We get crushed under an avalanche of adversity. Pressure and problems come crashing into our lives like great boulders and jagged rocks. We all experience this. And even before the dust settles, we're left wondering if we're going to ever recover, if we're going to really survive. And it's at those times, like Jabez's mother, that we just might want to call everything sorrow and pain and despair. It all seems helpless. Even that light at the end of the tunnel probably is a locomotive coming in our direction. And what happens then is that we start operating on the basis of our fears and our failures rather than on the solid setting and footing of our faith. And like this unfortunate woman here in verse 9, we lose confidence in God. We become all too ready to name Jabez, or at least give the name Jabez to those persons and things which we view as salt in our wounds. Now friends, most of us know what it means to be squeezed by circumstances, hurt by adverse situations. We know what perhaps even a little despair feels like. We've been in the vice grip of disappointment. Sometimes troubles wrap us up so tight it's hard to breathe, and all of life becomes just a hard hat area. We've all experienced that, and we all go through it. It can be a desperate feeling. But though the walls cave in and the roof comes crashing down, let us remember there is still a God in heaven who works all things, Romans 8:28, together for good to them that love him. And while we may doubt God's presence and struggle with his plans, and I'm sure we all have done that from time to time, he is ever our refuge and strength, isn't he? Psalm 46 and verse 1. He is our refuge and strength and a very present help in the day of trouble. He's not a long-distance friend. He's a present help. He's not a fair-weather friend. He's a present help in the day of trouble. He'll not abandon us when things get bad. You see, folks, we are all God's personal project. We are all, every one of us, a work in progress. And he seems to be forever hammering and filing and chiseling and rearranging our lives. And we need to keep in mind that the blueprint God is using is found there in Romans 8:29, where he tells us that we are being conformed, every one of us, to the image of his Son. And that's why all things work together for good, because God uses everything that comes into our lives to develop and to shape us until finally the principal character traits of Jesus Christ begin to emerge. And that's the measure of a man. That's the worth of a woman. Robert Murray McShane, a young Presbyterian pastor who passed away in the 19th century, used to remind his congregation that is not great talent that God blesses, but great likeness to Jesus Christ. And that's what we need more than anything else in this world. And that's why we gladly acknowledge God's sovereign rule over the lives of his people. Remember Jacob in Genesis 42, when he thought he had lost his son Joseph and apparent calamity came crashing in, he cried out in his anguish, "All these things are against me." When in reality, we find out in the text that all those things that he thought were against him were actually working for him, and indeed for the deliverance of his entire clan. It was those very things that he considered disastrous that God worked, that God used to work for him and his family a perfect deliverance. So is it any wonder that, again, another commentator, William Law, once observed that it is certain that whatever seeming calamity happens to you, if you thank and praise God for it, you will turn it into a blessing. And I think there is a great amount of truth in that statement. So the next time you're tempted to hang the tag Jabez on anyone or anything, remember that what may appear painful or even sorrowful today, God may use for our greatest help and happiness tomorrow. He alone can distinguish the beginning from the end. What does the Bible tell us? Unto the righteous ariseth a light in the darkness. And while the tools of God that he uses often to fashion and to shape us into Christ-likeness may at times seem painful, they are ultimately designed for our greatest blessing and our highest good. Troubles, we all have them. But don't look at them as accidents. Rather consider them God's appointments. Now, look back again at verse 9 with me, will you? Because we want to move on to the second point here. We've looked at Jabez in terms of his start in life, and next we want to see about his distinction of character. Look again at verse 9. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. Now, I don't believe necessarily, at least, that the scripture is censuring Jabez's brothers here as though they were somehow dishonorable. What is more likely being said is that Jabez became the most honored among the honorable. He was the wisest among the wise, the greatest among the great. Why? Because, what does the text tell us? He called upon the Lord God of Israel. Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said, "The Lord gets his best soldiers out of the highlands of affliction." And that certainly seems to be true in the case of Jabez. Granted, he did not escape trouble, but that's also why he did not miss growth. You know, trouble can be the spiritual equivalent of a growth spurt. And so we all need troubles from time to time so that we might grow in Christ's likeness, so that we might develop into mature believers and followers of the Son of God, that we might reach the full measure of our maturity in Jesus. Jabez handled trouble well, and he was regarded with honor. In the Hebrew, by the way, the word honor means something that is weighty. And then, by the way, it has nothing to do with the bathroom scale, so we can just put that thought aside immediately. It suggests that there's something of real something of substance about this person, something solid about Jabez, genuinely solid. He was a man with authentic integrity and a person with legitimate, rock-solid character. God apparently never stopped nailing down his loose ends or filing away his rough edges until he had chipped and chiseled Jabez into a man of sterling quality. And that's what you want to be, I hope, and I trust it's what I want to be as well. I mean, look at this guy. He went from underdog to top dog. He started at the end, but he came out first. He was the challenger, but apparently he ended up the champ. Somehow Jabez was able to rise above his unfavorable circumstances and distinguish himself among his brothers. And what a sterling example for us all for the coming new year. You know, this is the last Sunday in this January. And I wanted to talk to you about this because I think this is something we should all consider as we go into these next 11 months and serve the Lord in each and every one of them. Though down, Jabez wasn't out. He started far behind, but that didn't keep him from passing everyone else up and taking the prize. Now, what was it about Jabez that made the odds against him bite the dust? How did he pull this off? Well, let me suggest to you that Jabez's life is positive proof that you don't have to let problems blind you to the possibilities. It would appear that Jabez learned early on that trouble isn't terminal. And just because we go through difficult days, that doesn't mean we have to give up and bail out. Granted, our capacity for trial and trouble has its limits, but those limits, folks, are usually far beyond the point that most of us want to endure. In other words, long before we've reached our real capacity for enduring and addressing problems, most of us want to give up. We want to throw in the towel, want to throw in the hands, and walk away from the project. Too often, we've formed, by that time, a gripe group. We've gone to a pity party. We've joined Crankers Anonymous. And we like whining and complaining about the circumstances and cranking about our situation. But remember 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation, no testing has overtaken you, but as such as is common to man, and God is faithful, who will allow you to be tempted beyond, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but will with the temptation provide a way of escape that you might be able to endure it. God knows our limits, and He'll take us exactly to the point where He wants us to be. And I don't mean to make light of anybody's hurts or problems, but it does seem to me that Jabez should encourage us all to endure more and probably complain less. Jabez had to experience trauma before he could ever triumph over it. He had to be in the battle before he could win it. And while I'm sure there were times when he felt up to his neck and well over his head, Jabez never waved the white flag. He never threw in that towel. Pain, he knew it. It was literally his first name. But as somebody has pointed out, God never uses a man greatly until he has allowed him to be hurt deeply. I think that was Vance Havner, but I'm not sure. And I suspect that Jabez knew that even before Vance Havner did. In a moment, we're going to see that he was a man of prayer, which means he was also a man of faith. Jabez didn't have to cope without hope. He kept his eyes on, put his trust in the Lord. Some people in the world will say that's a crutch. And if you ever get hit with that, oh, God's just your crutch, you remind them, no, God is not a crutch. God is a whole life support system. Amen? And we need him every bit and every day. Jabez could have become embittered. He could have been swamped in self-pity. He could have nursed a grudge. He could have fanned the flames of discontent. But instead, he endured the pain. He learned the adversity. He learned from the adversity, I should say. He paid the price. He saw it through. He worked it out. And because of that, he grew and developed in maturity and character. Indeed, he excelled above the others. Remember James 1:1-4, count it all joy when you fall into different kinds of testings, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works endurance. And when endurance has had its perfect work, you will be complete and lacking in nothing. Testing tries the metal of our faith, and it removes the dross of irrelevancies. And so God takes us through that testing so that we are a pure element on the other side to be used in his almighty hand. And that's where we want to be, no matter what the cost. Folks, I have no doubt that Jabez knew incredible hurt and difficulty, but he also knew the living Lord. And it was likely only through every other crutch being kicked out from under him that he learned to completely trust in the Lord, to lean his all upon him. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers because he stood taller when tested. And that wasn't easy. It's never easy to go against the grain. That's where you find all the splinters, isn't it? And so it is in life. It's not that he didn't have pain and problems. He refused to let such things get in the way of his graduating with life with honors. Which brings us to the third point. We've looked at his start in life, his distinction of character. Now we want to look at his prayer to God. Look at verse 10. Now Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, that it may not pain me." And God granted him what he requested. Now, I want you to note something here. This is no rote recitation. In some men's movements, there's this book, The Prayer of Jabez, and it's not necessarily a terrible book. I'm not suggesting that it is. It has some good points. But there have been those who have used The Prayer of Jabez like a magic wand. And if you just pray this prayer, if you just say it, then abracadabra, God will do exactly for you what he did for Jabez. And that's nowhere suggested in the text. That's not why God recorded this for us. This is not a magic formula, this prayer, or a secret code. Such petitions as these come from the overflow of the heart, and they teach us when it comes to prayer, depth and not length is what's important. Jabez called upon the God of Israel. He petitioned his God, and he asked him, notice, for four things. First, his request is, "Bless me indeed," with, I might add, the emphasis being on that last word. Not just, "Bless me, Lord," but "Bless me indeed." Why don't we pray like that? Why don't we pray with emphasis, with a desire to have all that God has provided for us and is willing to give us? "Bless me mightily, Heavenly Father." No common garden variety blessing for Jabez. He wanted God's biggest. He wanted God's best. And by the way, this petition, I believe, is as much for spiritual blessings as it is for material, and more so. Remember the great words of John Newton? I've quoted them before. He was of the same persuasion when he wrote, "Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring, for his grace and power are such. None can ever ask too much." We have a God who promises us billions of blessings, and yet we're asking for checks for nickels and dimes. We bring our little thimbles, and he says, "Bring me bushels, bring me barrels." If only we would trust him for the maximum of what he can do. Not to spend it all on ourselves, not to make ourselves resplendent, but rather to be the most effective instruments we can possibly be in the hands of a holy Creator. You see, folks, we often come to God with the smallest request. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't do that. Of course we should. He is such a great God. He can take care of the littlest things. But let's not stop there. Let's bring him greater things. Let's not just ask for this, that, or the other thing. Let's ask for whole continents for God and pray that his mighty spirit would move like a wave over America and over South America and Europe and Australia and just so many other places as the word of God goes forth. We approach too meekly when he tells us to come boldly. And in point of fact, we often, as James again tells us, we often have not because we ask not. But it would appear that Jabez did not have that problem. He prayed with gumption and asked with gusto. If there are windows in heaven, he wanted them thrown wide open. And though he approached God with hands empty, he expected to go away with arms full and with his life overflowing. Secondly, his second petition was, enlarge my border. And whether that's a plea for more land for his family and his tribe, or whether it's a request for greater influence in ministry, we really can't say. Perhaps both are in view. But this much I am sure of. I believe that Jabez wanted to render to the kingdom of God the maximum amount of service of which he was capable. So widen my vision, my borders, my influence, my ministry. There's at least one thing we can say here without contradiction. His sense of ambition was God-sent and God-sanctioned. He would not settle for less than God's best. Jabez wasn't content with the usual and the ordinary. He could, of course, have been satisfied with a small space, but not when he believed that God had something more, and so he asked for expansion because he wanted a greater ministry and more opportunity. And when I see this, I have to ask myself, we should all ask ourselves, is our border too small? Are our borders too small? Are we seeing the maximum of what God can do? Jabez didn't want to just maintain what others had gained. He wanted to go forward. He wanted to advance further, and so should we. We're blessed to have this building and this place and this great city in which we might minister. But I don't want to be just doing what every generation has done before us. I want to do that, but I want to do more than that. Not because we're any more capable or special than our forefathers, but because God is able and we trust him for it. But what of our petitions, yours and mine? Do we ask for a blessing that we might be one, like in Psalm 67? Or would he ask simply to receive God's favors for self-consumption and self-aggrandizement? Do we want to contain God's blessings, or do we want to convey them to those who are around us? That was what Jabez was asking for. God not only looks upon what we ask for, he looks upon why we ask for it. And that's why, as with this man here, the greatest blessing of prayer is not just in receiving an answer, but in being the kind of people God can trust with it. Which brings us then to the petition number 3, that thy hand might be with me. Not, Lord, give me all this and I'll take it from there. Jabez had a wise and wholesome consciousness of his own abilities and limitations. In fact, the more realistically he appraised his own strength, the more earnestly you'll see here that he sought God's help. Jabez was not a fool. He had a proper estimate of himself and knew that as God enlarged his borders, he would need the provision and the power and the protection of the Lord's hand all the more. So this prayer and this petition was clearly no ego trip. Jabez is asking for divine aid and guidance, and while he didn't want to fill just a little space, Jabez well knew that if he was going to do anything more at all for the Lord, he would have to do it with humble trust and absolute dependence upon heaven. Someone did an acrostic on the word ego, and they said it stands for edging God out, E-G-O. But that's not what Jabez is doing here. He's wanting to bring God in, making him part of the plan, indeed recognizing it's his plan and taking part in the flow with the Lord. And that's what we should be doing as well. Which leaves us with the last petition, number 4, and that is to keep me from harm that it may not pain me. Some translations say not spoil my life. Now Jabez is apparently asking here, and I can't be absolutely dogmatic about this, But he seems to be asking that his life not be the fulfillment of his name, not a reflection on his name. And so he petitions God for protection. He wasn't ashamed, again, to ask for help, and he knew right where to find it. Nor was he afraid to acknowledge his needs, knowing that the Lord alone was going to abundantly meet them. And so here at the end of his prayer is a cry for assistance. Whether Jabez is asking to be spared the grief of sin or an attack from his enemies, again, the case is uncertain. Asking for help, though, no matter what your situation, is smart. Lord, deliver us from evil and enable us to live a life glorifying to you. That should be our prayer every morning. And it's all the smarter when we understand that God knows what he's doing, and he always does what's best. Well, the verse closes by telling us, and aren't you glad it closes this way, that God granted him what he requested. All that Jabez asked for, he received. No wonder he's a breed apart. God distinguished him from the rest of his kin. What higher honor could God give to a man than that he prayed and that his prayers were answered? Folks, Jabez might have had a rough start, maybe even got off on the wrong foot, but he still finished the course and won his race. His was an unflinching perseverance, a long and faithful obedience in a Godward direction. And as we make our laps through life, and through this next year, I think there are some lessons from this man that just might help give us an edge. And so as we enter 2020, let's first realize, number one, that neither disability or difficulties should disqualify us. And there will be both, Highland Hills. We will have setbacks. We will have disappointments. We will have discouragements. They will come. Satan will not allow this church to go unchallenged, no matter what it does, whether it's on the mission field or in your home, my home, or in the church family at large. We are under attack. Don't ever forget that. Satan flies lazy circles around us all, just waiting to come in for the kill. And if he retreats, it's only to regroup and come at us again. The battle in this life is never over. So don't let those things discourage you. Be strong, be resolved, be resilient, and determined, Highland Hills, to see it through. What did Paul say to the Galatians? Do not grow weary in well-doing. The enemy works overtime to persuade us that we can't do it and God doesn't care. But don't you believe his lie. Ask God, like Jabez, to build you a protective hedge or shield around your heart and your family to strengthen and stabilize you, and then go for the gold. Press on for the prize and keep pressing on right up until the end. Be a finisher, and God will honor you. For again, like Jabez, you will stand head and shoulders above all the rest who either quit outright or who just fade in the stretch. So first, realize that neither disabilities or difficulties can disqualify you. And secondly, understand that we run by faith and not in the flesh. Or as the Bible puts it, was it 1 Corinthians 5:5, we walk by faith and not by sight. Jabez prayed intelligently, intensely, specifically, effectively, and he asked for all of God's promises. Whatever God had to offer, he wanted it. The story of Jabez is not a record of how one man on his own overcame his problems. No, the true story of Jabez is the record of how one man learned through tough times to lean entirely upon the Lord. And that's where we want to be as well. Everybody leans on something or somebody, and because Jabez trusted in the Lord with all his heart and leaned not into his own understanding, he discovered that while the crutches of this world are fickle and fragile, God's support is ever and always strong and secure. As someone has pointed out, God's promises are like the stars. The darker the night, the brighter they shine. I wonder, in closing, if our family tree, if our genealogies were being recorded, if God would come down the list and pause at our name, is there anything about us, anything at all, that would cause a scribe to provide additional information, maybe just a verse or two, concerning our character and our walk with God and our faith in Him? Do we possess any of the spiritual and character traits of Jabez to which God himself so obviously has attached importance. Someone said hard times don't last, but faithful and honorable people do. Ours is not a namby-pamby faith. What we possess is a nitty-gritty Christianity, and we have no cause to complain. It's true, we all live on the margin of disaster, and it's a margin so thin that one phone call can change your life forever. But it's also true that God, as again Spurgeon has put it, God fits us for Canaan by our trials in the wilderness. And so my prayer for 2020 is that God would help us all to rise above our circumstances and for His glory, stay there. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this just this brief study in your word. We are so blessed to learn of this man, Jabez, and may he be reproduced, his faith, his stamina, his character in each and every one of us. Grant us your favor and your presence, Father. Help us to draw close to you and to remain always in the neighborhood of honor.
Jesus conquered the grave.